it's always exciting to come hang out on Sunday morning and worship God with you guys. Today is Independence Weekend. So you know what? There's two things that have shed their blood for mine and your freedom. One of them is Jesus Christ. So let's take a minute one more time and put our hands together and open up our mouth and shout to the Lord and let Him know with an attitude of gratitude we are thankful. But then let me tell you something. That is our spiritual freedom, but there is something that's paid for our physical freedom, and it's the armed forces of the United States of America that have fought and bled and died. Come on, put your hands together if you're proud to be an American today. Yeah. And so welcome. We're here. We're in week number 2 of our study in the book of Galatians. Today we're going to read Galatians chapter 1, verse number 11 through 24. Quite a bit of scripture today. I hope and I pray that the Spirit of God has moved on your heart this last week and you've been studying and you've been reading in the book of Galatians. That way we can all come here with a like mind. We can all come here looking, knowing we're going this direction. And so next week I'll just challenge you, be reading Galatians chapter 2, about the first half of Galatians chapter 2. We'll discuss that next Sunday morning. Today we're going to read Galatians chapter 1. I want you to remember, before we read the scripture, I want you to remember that Paul is writing this book to the church of Galatia. Some books that Paul wrote, they're books of encouragement. You look at the book of Philippians. He is encouraging them. He is saying, rejoice always. He's saying, choose joy. He's saying, you're doing a really good job. This book of Galatians is a lot like the book of 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Paul is kind of rebuking them. Paul is straightening them out. Paul is calling them out on some things that they're not doing just right in their life. And so I want you to remember that when we read this, because many of us, most of us, the biggest majority of us, 99% of us, don't want anybody calling us out on anything, because if they do, then we'll get booty hurt and we'll get offended. Come on, somebody. We're going to talk more about that in a minute. But remember, so Paul is writing them, and he's going, hey, you're straying from the gospel. You're not doing right. So there could be some tension going on there. There's a little bit of a disagreement. There's possibly some offense to be taken. Do you know why that we get offended, y'all? P-R-I-D-E. Pride is what causes us to be offended. Absolutely nothing else. So keep that in mind as we read the scripture, and we're going to look at the encounter that Paul has with the church in Galatia. Galatians chapter 1, starting in verse number 11. I love the way he addresses them. Dear brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that the gospel message that I preach, it's not based on human reasoning. I received my message from no human source, and no one taught me. Instead, Paul says, I received all that I know as a direct revelation from Jesus Christ. He said, you know what I was like before when I followed the Jewish religion, how I violently persecuted God's church. I did my best to destroy it. I was far ahead of my fellow Jews in passion for the traditions of man. But even before I was born, God chose me. Come on, somebody. But before I was born, God chose me and he called me to his marvelous grace. Then it pleased him to reveal his son to me so that I would proclaim the good news about Jesus to the Gentiles. When this happened, I did not rush out to consult with human beings, nor did I go to Jerusalem to consult with those who were apostles before me. Instead, I went to Arabia and later I returned to the city of Damascus. Then, 3 years later, I went to Jerusalem so I could get to know the Apostle Peter, and I stayed with him for 15 days. The only other apostle that I met at this time was James, Jesus' brother. I declare before God that what I am writing to you is not a lie. After that visit, I went north to the provinces of Syria and Cilicia, and still the churches of Christ that are in Judea, they didn't know me personally. All they knew was the people were saying, this is the one that used to destroy and persecute the church, and they praised God because of me. Father, we just ask you to speak to us. Anoint this time. Anoint this message. Lord, I ask you to give me wisdom way beyond my years. I ask you, God, to speak a word that is real and relevant and personal to every person that's in this place. Holy Spirit, do your work. Hide me behind the cross in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, I love the fact that there could be some tension going on here. How many of you like tension? There could be some disagreement going on here. Paul is a little bit scolding the church. There could be some struggle there. And when Paul addresses them, he addresses them as my dear brothers and sisters. That's words of affection. And here's what I want to say to you today. Paul realized and Paul recognized that the battle was not against the people at the church of Galatia. Paul realized that the battle was not against flesh and blood, but it was a spiritual battle that he was fighting. Some of us need to understand that the battle that we're fighting, it's not against that person that I'm mad at. It's not against my spouse. It's not against my parents. It's not against my business partner. It's not against my pastor. This battle that I'm fighting is against evil, and it's against Satan, and against all of his spiritual forces, because the enemy is trying to come and bring division. Can I tell you, that is the secret tactic of the enemy? You know what? If he can't get you to sin, that if he can't get you to go over here and be a whoremonger, if he can't get you to go over here and snort dope, he'll just come in and try to bring some division between you and your spouse, division between you and your kids, division in the church. The secret tactic of the enemy is to bring division. And many of us need to understand that and realize that. Paul said, you know what? I'm just going to call you. You're still my dear brothers and sisters. You're still the people in Galatia. You're still the church. I started that church. I prayed for that church. I worked hard for you. Paul said, I am not mad at you. I am fighting against the devil. Good. God Almighty, some of you need to understand you ain't fighting against that person. Come on, somebody. You ain't fighting against them. You're fighting against the devil. And if you're fighting against people, and did y'all hear that echo when I got in front of that deal? Sorry. Sorry, Mr. Sound Man. You're not fighting against people. You're fighting against the enemy. And he's coming to bring division. Paul says this. Paul doesn't allow. I need you to look at me. Look, and listen. Paul doesn't allow tension or disagreement or difference in opinions to cause broken relationships. Paul understands the power of relationships. If I have taught you nothing over the past 22 years, I pray that I have taught you the power of relationships. At the end of the day, there is one thing that we get to take from this earth to our eternal home in heaven. We don't get to take our job. We don't get to take our reputation. We don't get to take our cattle. We don't get to take our horses, but we get to take our relationships with us to heaven. Our relationships around Jesus Christ are eternal. And Paul said, I'm not going to let disagreements cause broken relationships. So powerful, so good. These days, can we be real? Can we be real? Can we be honest? The days that we live in today, we live in a snowflake society, and everybody is offended, booty hurt, mad, and triggered about something. Come on, somebody. And if we act like it's not inside the church, we are totally naive and dumb, and we bought the lie. Can I just tell you, I've been pastoring 22 years, and sometimes the people that get triggered and offended the most are the ones that are inside the church and not outside the church. I have made more people mad. I have made more people booty hurt. More people have left this church. Last week, I was having a conversation with David and Connor, and they were talking about the list of people that got mad at me and ticked off at me and have left this church and no longer attend this church anymore. And you know what? It's some stupid reason. It's some ignorant reason. It's some little bitty thing that didn't amount to absolutely nothing, but their pride jumped in, and they got offended, and they got booty hurt, and they left this place. In the words of Curly Bill Brosis, well, bye. I'm just sorry. It just is the way it is. People are triggered and booty hurt and offended, and it's getting to be more and more and more in our society. We have to change the names of football teams because it offends people nowadays. We can no longer buy pancake batter. We got to take the pictures off the pancake batter. We can't sell Miss Butterworth syrup. We can't sell Aunt Jemima. We can't sell Red Man chewing tobacco anymore because somebody's offended and triggered and booty hurt. Religion? You want to talk about religion? People get upset. They get politics. Oh, boy, you get in that political game? We're offended at different opinions. We're offended at convictions. We're offended at the truth. We're offended at traditions. We're triggered by jokes that used to be laughed at. We're triggered by pronouns and feminism and masculinity. Everybody's looking for something to be offended about nowadays. And Paul said, I'm not going to do that. Because can I be real with y'all? 90% of the time, what I see, differences in opinions causes broken relationships. 90% of the time it winds up being a broken relationship. I'll just be honest with y'all. There's a family that's left this church in the last 4 or 5 months. They have been at this church for years. I've been friends with them for 30 years. I have buried their grandparents. I have buried their family. I have baptized them. I've baptized their kids. And they got booty hurt over one thing that went down wrong. You know what? There's problems in church and struggles in church. And sometimes you have to make a decision. You can't always please everybody. And they have left the church completely and totally broken relationships, broken our relationships, broken our relationships with their kids. All because they just got a little bit offended. Don't allow differences in opinions. Don't allow decisions that people have to make. We got to stop in this world taking everything so personally. Come on, somebody. Proverbs 19:11. Let me give you some scripture. It's not just me. Proverbs 19:11. Good sense. How many know our world needs to have some good common sense nowadays? Good sense. Good sense. Good sense makes one slow to get angry. Come on, somebody. How many of you like me and struggle with that? Now, yeah, because boom, boy, I get all over. I ride you like a Shetland pony, man. I mean, I just get angry. Good sense. Shut up, Will. Good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory. It is God's glory to overlook an offense. Should I say it louder for the people in the back? It's God's glory for you and I to overlook an offense. That means don't get booty hurted. Mr. Sensitive, Mr. Snowflake, Sister Susie, settle down. Don't be offended. Overlook an offense. That gives God glory. We don't have to take everything personal. I love this next one. This next scripture I'm going to read to you convicted me like crazy. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 21 through 22. Do not take to heart all that people say. You know anybody? They're just waiting on somebody to say something wrong and just jump on that bandwagon. Don't take it to heart. Because look at me. Look. All of us run off at the mouth sometimes. Do not take to heart all the things people say, because lest you might hear your servant cussing you. Like, I probably cussed most of y'all. Just saying, okay? Just so you know. But don't take it to heart. It's just me being me. Because watch verse number 22. Do not take to heart all the things that people say, lest you hear your servant cussing you. Watch this. Your heart knows that many times you yourself have cussed others. Don't take to heart when somebody gets upset. Don't take to heart when your wife cusses you. The side of that woman y'all ain't never seen. I'm just saying, y'all. Don't take to heart when your friend doesn't say what you want to say. Don't take it to heart. Learn to overlook that matter. It gives God glory. And just be reminded that you have been guilty of saying negative and hurtful things about other people as well. What if we just grew up and quit being immature, little elementary, little schoolgirls who were fighting and fussing over everything? What if we learned to know that not everybody's perfect and life is not all about me and everybody's not going to perform for me all the time? What if we all learned to get over the things we were booty hurt and offended about? How much better would our churches be? How much better would our world be? How much better would our children be? How much better would our marriages be? Paul says, dear brothers and sisters, I'm kind of aggravated at you, but I'm not going to let my disappointment or the disagreement cause a broken relationship with us. Paul understood, so here's the deal. Chill out. Chill out. Chill a little bit and don't be so offended. Paul goes on. And he says, this message, dear brothers and sisters, he said, this message that I'm preaching to you, it's not based on mere human reasoning. How many of you are like me and you try to reason everything and figure everything out? Come on, somebody. We try to reason it. We try to process it. We try to make it make sense. We try to understand it. Listen, this gospel of Jesus Christ, it makes no sense to our human minds. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how long you've been serving the Lord. The gospel doesn't make sense to our human. What do you mean, Cody? I mean forgiveness. Like, do you understand that Jesus completely and totally paid for all of our sins, and God completely forgave us with no merit, with no effort, with no work on our part? He freely forgave us. That doesn't make any sense to my mind. It doesn't make any sense in your mind, because about 90% of you are sitting out there today saying, I'm not going to forgive that joker. I'm not going to forgive my ex-spouse. I'm not going to forgive my parents. I'm not going to forgive. We don't want to. It doesn't make sense for us to just freely forgive others. And what we do is we buy the lie of the enemy, and then we harbor unforgiveness, and we harbor hate, and we harbor bitterness, and it kills us and destroys us from the inside out. This gospel doesn't make sense. That God would forgive me. That God would forgive you. It doesn't make sense that Jesus loves us with an unconditional love. My God, do we understand unconditional love? It means no conditions. And we as human minds, we have placed conditions upon every relationship we have. If you do what I want, if you say what I want, if you give me what I want, if you give me enough attention, if you act the way I want you to act, then I will love you based on these conditions. It doesn't make sense that God goes, I love you no matter what. How much better off would we be as a society to learn to forgive, to learn to have unconditional love? Can I preach to y'all today? This gospel, God gives us joy unspeakable in spite of our circumstances. Most of us will choose joy when our circumstances are perfect. Most of us will choose joy when our prayers are getting answered. Most of us will choose joy when there's money in the bank. This gospel, it's joy everywhere, every day, every moment, in spite of what happens on this whole earth. This gospel doesn't make sense to our human minds. And can I just tell you, that's why many of us struggle with receiving the gospel of Christ. Because we battle with it in our head. We want to accept Jesus with our heart because our hearts are hard and our hearts are broken, and we know we need more, but our head says you're not good enough. Our head says we can't be forgiven. Our head says God cannot absolutely love us unconditionally. Our head messes with us, and it's a battle. It's a 12-inch battle from here to here, but the gospel is not based on mere human reasoning. The gospel is based on the love of Jesus Christ, and when the Holy Spirit comes in and fills us, it gives us discernment, and now we can discern the gospel through spiritual eyes. Quit trying to figure the gospel out, because it's never ever going to make sense to you and I. Paul says, dear brothers and sisters, it's not a human mind thing, it's a spiritual thing that you receive for free. And he goes, all of this I'm teaching you? He goes, I didn't learn this from Cody over at Bethel. I didn't learn this from some church in Abilene. He goes, I learned this direct revelation. Like Paul said, I had this encounter with God. I had this encounter with the risen Jesus Christ, the direct revelation I got. Let me talk to you a little bit about revelation. You know what revelation means? It's just a revealing. Like if those doors are closed back there where we live, I can't see what's on the other side. I can imagine and I can think and I can hope and I can fear and I can anticipate and I can even doubt. But when those doors are opened up, it is revealed to me what is on the other side. Can I tell you that God still wants to reveal, and God still does reveal to his people the things in their future? God wants to reveal things to you and I through divine revelation that will give us a hope and will show us the future that he has for us. God still speaks and still reveals things to you and I. Can I tell you something? Many of us, we haven't had a revelation from God in years. Can I be real with y'all? We'll talk more about it in a minute. Jesus was revealed to you 10 years ago when you got saved. Jesus was revealed to you 5 years ago when he called you to Bethel Assembly. But you know, since then, God hasn't revealed anything to you. He hasn't shown you anything. He hasn't given you this divine revelation. And I'm telling you, I have these constant revelations. God has to constantly reveal things to us. He reveals things. We're going to talk about it in a minute. He reveals things to us two different ways, I believe. But first, let me just remind you, Daniel 2:22 says, God reveals deep and mysterious things to his people. How many of you want to have God to reveal some mysterious things to you? How many of you want God to reveal some deep things to you? How many of you want God to give you this new revelation for your life? Amos 3:7 says, indeed, the sovereign Lord never does anything until he reveals his plans to his servants, the prophets. Can I tell you, look at me, look. God is not going to do anything in your life until he first reveals it unto you. I wish I had time to preach this to y'all. Because our eyes can't see and our ears can't hear what God has done for us. We can't even imagine the things that God has planned for us. But if we will take time out and spend time with God, God will reveal some future plans to us. You know what that does? That gives us a vision. And where there is no vision, people perish. But when you get a vision from God and I get a vision from God and we see how great God really is and what God really wants to do in our life, it will motivate us to rise up. It will motivate us to fight stronger. It will motivate us to spend time with God and walk it out until that revelation comes to pass. God wants to reveal these things to us. He will never do anything in our life until he reveals it to us first. Once he reveals it to us, then he'll bring it to pass. So Cody, here's the question. How does God reveal things to me? You're here today. You want to hear from God. Can I hear an amen? You want revelation. Can I hear a good amen? Two ways, I believe, for the context of this scripture today. Number one is by accepting and understanding that God has chosen you and God has called you. Paul said, before the foundations of time, everybody knew I was messed up. Everybody knew I destroyed the church. Everybody wants to remind me of my past, but he said this, before the foundations of time and before I was born, God chose me. Most people in this church today, you know God and you love God, but you just really don't know and you really don't believe and walk in that God has chosen you and God has more plans for you than to work a 40-hour a week job. God has more plans for you than just to build some little bitty reputation. Here's what is what we have to do. We got to own this thing of walking, being covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. Like, you got to own it. You got to quit playing a church game, and you got to quit thinking, oh, I'm not good enough, and oh, it's based on my merit, and oh, I'm not smart enough. You got to know that God has chosen you, and there's a calling on your life, and the calling may not be to get up here and sing, and the calling may not be to get up here and preach, but the calling could be to be a father, and the calling could be to be a stepmother, and the calling could be to the light shining in a dark place in the corporate world. God has chosen you and called you for great and mighty things. And when you receive that mindset, you go, wait a minute, hold everything. Can I just tell you about old Cody? I told my mama when I was 18 years old, the Lord called me to preach. But I didn't own it. I was scared of it, and I ran from it, and I didn't want no part of it. And I remember when we was living in Guthrie, Texas, and was going to church at Roaring Springs Church, and I remember the day that we were at church, and I remember when I knew God called me. And now, you know what? I'm not qualified, but God is going to give me the power to do everything I need. I understood God is going to qualify me, and the Spirit's going to come into my life. I remember the moment that I said, you know what? I'm going to walk in this thing. You know what? I am chosen. You know what? It's not about me. You know what? It's not about my past. It's about the blood of Jesus Christ and God moving in my life. And when I owned it and accepted the responsibility of being more than a church member, boom, God began to reveal things to me. God began to say, I'm going to use you to be a preacher. God began to say, I'm calling you. And man, I owned it. And when I owned it, and look at me, look. Until you own it, there will be a revelation that you will never, ever receive. The mysterious and a deep and a mighty thing that you will never be able to see any way, anyhow, until you own it, until you become a responsible follower, till you become responsible with the grace of God and responsible with the calling God has on your life. The next thing is this. God gives revelation to those who spend alone time with God. I wish I could make that easier for you. I wish you could show up at church and we could sling a little oil and we could sling a little tongues and do all that stuff and lay hands on you. And But here's the deal. If you want revelation from God, you want God to reveal things to you, you have got to carve out time of your busy little schedule and you've got to spend alone time with God. It is what it is. It is what is. Moses, this great leader from the Old Testament, he spent 40 days on the mountain with God. Nobody else, no cell phones, no books, Even no Bible. He spent 40 days alone with God. Elijah spent 40 days on Mount Horeb. Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness. John the Apostle spent the last years of his life on a rocky, treeless island known as the Island of Patmos with no one else, and wrote the book of Revelation, maybe the greatest revelation ever given by God, because they spent alone time with God. I've told you the story before when I was in Guthrie feeding cows. Feeding cows sucks. Can I get amen? Turn the siren on, listen to that loud sucker, and wait for them bellowing bulls to come walking in an hour later. I got a Bible. I carried the Bible with me. I read the Bible. Man, it was my alone time with God. For the first time in my life, when we lived in Guthrie and the Spirit of God was moving and I owned the calling, I went to the back room of our house. We had always just sat around and watched TV and did nothing. But for the first time, I went to the back room at night and said, babe, I'm going to go spend some time with the Lord. And I began to read the Word of God. And that's when God began to reveal things to me. I know you're busy. I know life is tough, but you got to spend some time with the Lord. We sing that song, and I love that song. I will make room for you, God. Remember we sang it last week? I'll make room for you. Sometimes the reason God can't give us revelation and because God can't move is because he has no room in our life. And if we want to carve out some time and make some room for God to spend time with God, then he will begin to reveal things to us. Revelation, he reveals things. Last thing I'll talk to you about today is this. Paul went away. Paul gets saved, has this encounter with Christ, shows up a little bit, and he went away for a little while, and he came back. Let me read it again. Galatians 1, 21 through 23. After that visit, I went north to Syria and Cilicia, and the churches of Christ that are there, they didn't know me personally. All they knew was that people were saying, the one who used to persecute us is now preaching the very faith that he tried to destroy. Basically, Paul said, everywhere I go, they don't really know me, but they either won't talk about my past or they won't talk about my present. They won't talk about me. How many of you know we always won't talk about somebody's past? Come on, somebody. I still, last week I ran into a guy and he goes, I still can't believe that you're a preacher. Like, I've been doing it 22 years. I ain't done that stupid crap in 22 years and you still can't believe it. People won't talk about it and remind you of the past. But when you did this, this is the way you were. Because it doesn't go back to human reasoning. Because we don't understand forgiveness. And we don't understand newness. And we don't understand that all the old has passed away and all things are made new. People won't talk about your past. But they won't talk about you right now. Can you believe he did that? Can you believe they talk about, listen, here's the deal. Look at me. Look. People going to talk about you. Come on, somebody. Like, I'm probably going to talk about you, Jay. That's it. It's the biggest head I ever seen in my life, dude. I love you, but still, Nathan, my Lord, dude. You're like, I'm going to talk about you. Doc, I can't believe you're here still. Whew, jeez, Lord Jesus. Oglesfeld, son of a buck. People going to talk about you. Forget it. Who cares what they say about you? Who cares if they talk about your past? Who cares if they talk about what you're doing right now? Here's the main thing. People are going to talk. Can I hear a good amen? Here's what matters, what people say about you and I. And I love this scripture. At the end of Galatians 1:24, Paul said, they didn't know me, they made fun of me, they were scared of me, they were afraid of me. But Galatians 1:24 says this, and they praised God because of me. So here's what I say. Talk about me all you want to talk about me. Talk about my past. Talk about my failures, and they are many. Talk about the mistakes that I made. Talk about the time that I wasted and the money that I wasted. Talk about my past. Talk about me right now and talk about how I don't do what you want me to do. And talk about how I'm maybe not the best preacher. And talk about how I should be a little bit softer. Talk about all that. I don't care. But at the end of the day, I want you to say, I praise God. God gets the praise and God gets the glory because of Cody. Because Cody is sold out. Because Cody tells me the truth. Because Cody shows me how to love God with passion. Live your life where people will praise God for you. Do people, you got to answer this question. You got to answer this question. Do people praise God for you? Do they praise God? Van, praise God for you, man. You encourage me. Your wife just died, man, and you're walking through these struggles, and you're doing it with grace, and you're doing it with dignity. Praise God for you. God gets the glory because you strengthen me, and you make me fight better. Praise God for you, Hope, for putting up with him. Y'all drive from Lubbock, Texas to come over here. I know it's hard. I know it's a struggle, but it does me good to watch y'all keep fighting. Praise God for you, Hatfield, Cole. I see what you do, Marley, what you went through, and how the enemy tried to destroy, but you stood strong. It encourages me. Praise God for you, Horn. Praise God for you, Will. Praise God. Live your life in a way, Alejandro and Victory Spinal Care over there. I praise God for you. Live your life in a way that people will praise God because of how you live your life. They praised God. God gets the glory because the way Paul lived. Conrad and worship team, come help me close, please. Here's the bottom line. I ask you to bow your heads for a moment. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us and close in the closing moments. Let's learn from the writings of Paul and don't let an offense cause broken relationships. You know what I've found out a lot of times? When people are offended at me, I'm just going to be real, like I don't even know why they're offended. I didn't mean it the way they took it. I know, and some of you, like, let's just be real. Like, some of you, maybe you really have a real reason to be offended. Maybe you've been hurt. Maybe you've been straight up talked down to. Maybe you just, they just screwed you. But at the end of the day, an offense is an offense, and it's God's glory to overlook that offense. And just keep in the back of your mind, none of us are perfect. If I've offended you or somebody else has offended you, guess what? You said something that offended others as well. So why don't we just all lay it down and quit trying to make human reasoning out of it? And in the sake of the gospel of Christ, let it go. I wish Clara was here. I would get her to get up here and sing the Frozen song. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Can I just tell you one more thing? The enemy will always be there to remind you of it. The enemy will always try to come back in 6 weeks when you think you're over it, in a few days when you think, the enemy will always remind and try to get you to pick that offense back up. That's where you have to be strong and take on the mind of Christ and say, no, it's under the blood. I'm not going to do that. Living in offense is a miserable way to live. So chill out. If you've been offended, allow the Lord to speak to you today and let those offenses go. Maybe there's some of you here today that struggle with accepting the gospel of Jesus because it doesn't make sense in your mind. Because you know how far you've been. You know how long you've been in the pig pen. You know that you don't deserve it. But my prayer for you today is that you wouldn't quit trying to reason it. And you wouldn't accept it with your head, but you would accept it with your heart. By faith, you would accept Christ and his forgiveness and his unconditional love. If you will simply taste and see of the goodness of God, just try, just taste it, you'll never be the same again. God wants to reveal things to you, man of God, woman of God. He wants to show you the future. You got to quit playing a game with the gospel. You got to own it. You got to be responsible. You have to accept it. When you start walking out your calling in confidence in God and not yourself, and when you start spending some time with God, when you make room for him, he's going to reveal great and mighty things. And then lastly, I would challenge you to live your life. Live your life of being a stay-at-home mom. Live your life being a doctor. Live your life being a cowboy. Live your life being a teacher. Live your life, whatever you do, in a way that people praise God for you. Holy Spirit, move. Holy Spirit, speak. Holy Spirit, challenge, convict. Holy Spirit, encourage every one of us today. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, let's stand on our feet and let's close with a song of worship.